process.
You tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
Why do you want to know my name?
Because I want to know who I'm looking at.
I am calling the police.
They never make it in time.
This is Gail Weathers with an exclusive.
Authorities are baffled.
Been warned by the killer.
It all began with a scream over 911, like the plot of some scary movie.
Hello, Sydney. Do you like scary movies?
What's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. Never, ever say, I'll be right back, because you won't be back.
Get another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
Help me, somebody!
You're not scared, are you?
All right, welcome back to Back to the Movies. This is Ted Flint. I am here. It is the last scary movie of October. We are discussing Scream 1996 classic with Jake Voss and Sean Bestman. You can find us on the tailgatesociety.com. There's an amazing article by Emily Cornell today about how Wyoming is dog shit and costing us money. And
sad.
Yeah. Sad. I liked how when she like sent to me to edit, I mean, I didn't edit. Tammy edited it because let's be clear, I'm not editing shit. And I'm like, their unders aren't even, their unders aren't even hitting. And she's like, I don't know what that means, but I agree. And I'm like, all right.
Yes, normal. We're just next 96
Scream. Right. I guess I'm just a weird person. Directed by Wes Craven, Neve Campbell, Drew Barrymore, a bunch of actors that are just amazing in this movie. But find us on tailgatesociety.com, on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, Amazon, because getting that Bezos money. Said that right. Right? Bezos? Bezos? I don't fucking
Bezos,
know.
Bezos, yep. You put his
yes. Name, yeah, when you're there, don't doubt yourself.
All right. So as always, we start off this podcast with one of us having to pick. I pick one. I have a contraption that picks one of us, and if you've never seen Scream and you just like want to get the shit spoiled out of it in 90 seconds or less and just want to listen to us discuss it, I pick one. As you can see, this week's contraption, which you guys yet can't see because we haven't done video yet, is a wheel. But this wheel is slightly different than the other wheels. It has all of our faces in it made out of paper, like thin paper. I put the camera above the wheel so we're looking down, and I have made a knife attached thing that's going to slowly stab one of our faces as the wheel turns. Like it's going to like kind of like pump fake us and like possibly stab us, but like until it slams down,
like a terrifying version of the whipped cream like pie face game. Is that what
kind of? Yeah, like it's just like but stabbing down through our face in the paper. So it's going to start spinning, and wherever the knife stabs and kills, that person has to do it. So here it goes, spinning. Clicks the button. Here it goes. Stab. Oh, almost stabbed Sean. Oh, almost stabbed me. Almost stabbed Jake. Almost stabbed Sean. Oh, fuck. Stab. Machine. Stab. All right. But hang on. I'm going to fuck with the machine. I'm going to make it work. So I'm going to fuck with it. And we're going to get the knife to slam down. And it's going to get one of our faces. Fine. This is not going to hurt me.
Are you sure?
I think we can just
no. The knife is not that sharp. It's not going to hurt.
Know your
me.
Track you say record that with knives. So I don't know. If
so I'm just going to. I'm just going to try to spin the wheel. The knife's going to slam down at some point. It's not going to get me. I understand you think I'm going to get stabbed, but
you're like the reverse John Wick.
Remember that stupid way that you stabbed yourself before?
Yes, with the pork patties.
This is probably right up there.
But that was my own hands. This is not a machine. And right. Oh, God. Damn it, that hurts. Okay. Fuck, all right. God.
There's blood everywhere.
That's my God, man.
It's in a real bad spot, too, my hand. That's
are you on blood right thinners, or is it that deep?
I've been drinking, all right? It's bleeding. It happens. Fucking God. Damn it.
Corn syrup.
I'm just going to wrap around my hand. It's fine. So I feel as though since I am now bleeding.
He's wounded. God,
fuck.
It's fine. I'm going to get up.
That's
going
to take forever to heal, too. That's right.
Yeah, it's a real bitch spot. All right. Fuck. All right. I feel like that means that I should spoil the shit out of this movie in 90 seconds less since I've stabbed myself and not the paper version of myself. Fuck, that really stings. What you shouldn't do is stab yourself. I mean, I didn't stab myself. Machine stabbed me. Does that make it better? Because I didn't like actually like stab myself.
We warned you.
Cannot wait till my primary physician hears about this. She's just going to glare at me.
Yeah, you might need to lie about this one. It's...
What's better, that I stab myself or machine stab me? Come on, which is the better story?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know.
I think you make up a different story about
what you got stabbed by a bear. That's
probably
a bear probably broke right. in, grabbed a knife, and stabbed you. I think that's
that's bear
the
stabbed
best
me.
Version of the story.
I mean, that's why you picked the bear. All right, Scream came out in 1996. It stars Drew Barrymore and Neve Campbell. It is about a dude in a ghost face mask that goes around two dudes. Spoiler alert. Go around ghost face masks and costume and murder a bunch of teenagers and a principal. They all have a phone call. Do you like scary movies? What's your favorite scary movie? The voice is amazing. It really kickstarted horror movies again. I can't say that fucking word. Scary movies. That's what I'm going to go with. It kickstarted them again. I know what you did last summer. Urban Legend. All those movies come out afterwards. Yeah. And then basically, it stalks the victims. You find out that these two assholes have a vendetta against Sydney Prescott because her mom cheated on with the husband of the other guy. I mean, it's a real vindictive
the
shit.
The dad of the boyfriend that is.
Yeah, it's.
And they decide to kill all their friends, except my favorite part is how Stu has no motive. He's just like peer pressure. Like they don't. Stu's just a psychopath, I guess.
When we dive into it, it's one of my favorite quotes from the movie.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard is amazing in this movie. He might be the one that's aged the best. Matthew Lillard is a treasure. Randy, what the fuck is Randy's last name? In real life, Randy something. Candy, right? Jamie Candy plays Randy. We're going to get in the Scream 2 because Randy goes out like a bitch. Still pissed off about that. Spoiler, Randy survives this one to die in the second one. Like a bitch. Then they find out it's Sydney's boyfriend who fakes her death for Stu's way over 90 seconds. She drops a TV on one of them, shoots the other one repeatedly. Courtney Cox is in this as Gail Weathers. TV personality. Anyways, lots of deaths, lots of gory deaths. The first 12 minutes are insanely good. It is much meaner than people remember it being.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, Jake was 3 when this came out. Sean was like 5.
6.
6.
It would have been 6, yeah.
I did not see this in the theater, but we're going to get to my thoughts last. What is everyone's first like memories of the Scream franchise, I guess? What the hell was that?
You tried to flip the cat over and the cat attacked.
Oh, my God.
Are you bleeding? Are you also bleeding?
Do
you
I don't know. It's on my assistance? Back, probably.
Tez, what was your since you're
I guess me, your I don't name? I don't specifically remember Scream 1 anyway, like as like a standalone. I remember I think the one when it was coming out, like that was the first real big standout one to me, was maybe Scream 3, and I guess I don't know what year that would have been.
That is the worst one.
But I
that was dog shit.
I can't tell you to this day that I have seen Scream 3, but I remember the marketing for it and it rolling out, and that's what made me aware of the franchise and all of that. Over the years, what are they up to? Like, are they at 6?
Coming out.
7? Six. 7's coming out. So I know they've kind of prolonged it and brought it back and revamped it and done all of that stuff. But I think I saw this one.
We're going to get into the sequels later. But yeah.
When I was just probably an early teenager, I couldn't tell, you know, probably 12 or 13, somewhere in there. And it is, I mean, kind of like you touched on, it's meaner and almost a little like as you brought up, it kind of brought back horror movies and actual scary movies and suspenseful movies. It was more of that than I had remembered, just because I know like some of the later ones, they start, they lean a little more into the jokey stuff that got into because of the actual Scary Movie franchise that obviously was a, this was a huge big part of. But yeah, I would say it was some of those later, I guess, middle sequels, if you will, and what it, what the franchise is now. That's where I became aware of the movies. I didn't see them until I was probably a teenager. This one, I think I said when we picked this one, I think I've seen the first and second one, maybe the fourth or fifth one once or twice. I know I haven't seen all of them, but I know I've seen the first two. So,
wow. They went from Scream 3 in 2000 to Scream 4 in 2011. That's wild. sorry, I was
Scream 4 Scream 4 is slept on. 5 is pretty good. 6 is bad.
So, similar to Tez, I don't know. I think probably, even though I'm younger than him, I think Scream 3 and kind of the marketing and stuff, plus my age, is probably when I kind of remember Scream being a thing, like as far as like the movie series. Ted, you and I talked just a little bit earlier. I remember watching at least parts of this movie or it being on, because my mom's is a pretty big, like, horror movie fan. That's why I've seen at least parts of a lot of older, horror movies and stuff. And then this one being something that as I was growing up was she had on. So I don't know that I had ever sat down and watched this movie all the way through, but there were definitely parts of the movie that I recalled and like remembered, but in general for the whole movie, I didn't exactly remember the whole like plot and kind of twist and stuff. I was pretty sure that Matthew Lillard's character ended up bad, but I didn't fully remember the, like the two psychopath friends, boyfriend still being bad twist part of it. So
it's such a good twist.
It's very good. And I was the whole time I was trying to remember, I was like, okay, I remember. Okay. It's not this person. I know it's not this. I know it's not that.
So this movie sets the precedent up until the third one's the only one that's not, where there's two killers in every movie.
Okay.
See, so there's two killers in every single.
And I haven't followed up, obviously, and I haven't followed up the kind of the watching or whatever. I haven't like revisited any of the later ones or anything. I don't even know the latest one I've seen parts of.
So, it's so good. Like I saw this movie on VHS, didn't see in theater. Came out when I was 14. So like, but this was like 15-year-old me, like, this is the thing we watch on the weekends. We had the VHS. We rented it. It was like us hanging out with friends. Like, this one got put in a lot. The cool thing, the second one comes out literally, this came out in December of 96. The second one comes out in 97. That is a quick turnaround. That is a one-year turnaround for a sequel. All right, so like I said, I didn't see in theater. I don't think I saw any in the theater till I might have saw number 3 in the theater. I know I didn't see 4 in the theater as my point. I had kids. I definitely 5 was in the theater. Because I was at point an old man like I am now. But like the beginning of this movie, like me and the girlfriend watched.
Can I ask, is 5 the one that was just called Scream again that was released not too long ago, or was there a 5 and then Scream?
I think 5 is Scream. That's the.
I think that's right.
Five is the legacy sequel.
Okay.
It's really cool. It has characters like nieces and nephews from this movie, like, are in that movie. Like, so Randy's niece and nephew are in Scream 5, because obviously they can't be his children because he dies like a bitch in the second one.
Spoiler for anybody that.
He backs up to a van. He backs up to a van. On the phone with the killer in the middle of a park, Randy does not back up to the only place the killer can be in the park. Doesn't do it. I'm very strongly, he doesn't go out like that. Anyways, so yeah, so Scream 5 is good. Scream 6 is terrible. Scream 6 is bad because they pulled the Marvel thing, where like at least
everybody's a superhero and Nick Fury shows up at the end.
Two characters in Scream 6 take wounds, multiple stabs, gunshots. And then they're like, oh, but they're still alive. I'm like, just kill them. Just kill them. It's okay for characters to die in a horror movie.
And there is,
we're going to discuss it. in this movie too.
They do it a little bit.
They kill somebody in this one.
Yes.
And then he comes back at the end. Yeah. There is a character in this movie that is dead. And then they change their mind.
Literally dead. Like, no way to survive dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I only saw that semi accidentally in my research, but
the implied dead anyway. Rest in peace, Dewey. He somehow survives in our 4 fucking movies. Yeah. All the ties in the second one, they changed their mind. But anyways, just a lot more knife wounds in the second one. Walks away from those. All right, so let's talk about the first 12 minutes of this movie. Drew Barrymore, and I watched the girlfriend still hasn't seen it all, but we watched the first 15 minutes night before we did the other podcast because I actually wanted to see it. And she's like, Drew Barrymore's in this? She must be the main character. Oh, yeah, she's on the poster. She's the main character.
Yeah, for sure. Until she's not.
Doesn't make it. And this is like this is 96, so like pre-internet being internet. So like they literally, basically, commercials had Drew Barrymore. She's on the poster. Like,
that's wild.
They imply that she is the person that, like, Neve Campbell is not on the screen poster. The original screen poster. It is Drew Barrymore. Neve Campbell, sorry. But yeah, like, I love how in that phone call with Ghostface, like, Ghost might be playful to her, like, all of a sudden he's like, you fucking hang up on me one more fucking time, you're dead.
What does she say? Like, what do you want? And he says something like, I want to see what you're
inside. I want to see what you're inside.
Outside of you. Like, just, that's fucked up. That's pretty fucked up.
Is his name Steve? You know, like, poor Steve. Poor Steve. Also, that knife must be sharp as shit to, like, cut Steve open in one swoop and have his guts come out. Just
yeah, pretty run sharp. By him. And
That's not... The whole guts ripped out thing is not exactly realistic for just slicing a gut.
Whatever. When was the last time you gutted a human being? Are you the expert on this? Anyway. I need some alibis on where you were certain nights.
Anyway, so
around here, you know.
It was funny because, or like, I obviously didn't remember specifically what that looked like, but he does the whatever, like, turn the lights back on thing or whatever, and Steve just laying there with literally, it looks like his, like, stomach got, like, ripped open by, like, a wild animal.
All 35 feet of intestines that apparently are in us. Just like,
it's like, oh yeah, that was a knife slice. That makes sense.
On a cut across his gut. Yeah, okay.
All the good thing about when I rewatched this movie was, that's how you used to make popcorn? Like, I'm like, what the fuck is that popcorn?
Like, you can still,
like, you never made Jiffy things, Pop? You can absolutely still buy Jiffy Pop.
I didn't growing up, but, like, they're still, that's...
So you just put it on fire and it just...
No, you pops. Set it on the stove and it heats up.
Yeah, it's not supposed to catch on fire.
It's not supposed to be on fire.
I have to explain Jiffy Pop to you. I have a gas stove in my kitchen because goddamn Kamala is not going to make me have a...
It doesn't matter. It could be fueled by lasers. It doesn't matter what the fuel source is. Ted,
it's like a little pan with the foil covering thingy on it. It's the same idea. You heat up the oil in the kernel.
It's a pan with oil. Yeah. And then it just, it heats up and it pops and it has butter in there, and then
I've never even made the shit. And understand then
you
just,
when it's done, now you understand how it works. You just watch the movie.
No,
when it inflates,
you think this is the only instance of fucking Jiffy Pop in movies?
When it stops popping, just like when microwave stops popping in the microwave, you stop it and you take it off and you unwrap it,
or you
and
leave
you
it on the
put
stove
it in a bowl.
And it catches on fire.
Or you just let it catch on fire.
Normally, when it blows up too much, you do take it off. Anyways.
Which, but at that point, not to dive into, like, little nitpicks on that, that's absolutely going to be like an oil grease fire, and her mom just throws that in the sink and throws water on it, and that's no.
The Jiffy Pop.
Now you have multiple problems. You have a dead body in your front tree.
You have...
And your house is on fire.
and the dead body by the pool.
And you're burned to shit because it probably splashed on you
too. Right, yeah.
Yeah, so like the Jiffy Pop part is also really cool because like it's a really good way of like timing how much time is taking place from the phone call to like Ghostface calling and talking to Casey and like all that shit. Also, on the whole, like how mean this movie is, those parents are gonna have trauma forever.
Oh, dude.
Like hearing the phone call on the phone.
You call it mean. I would call it like, I think.
I mean, it's dark. It's dark.
Like, yeah, it's not like mean is not
because it is to to throw that little piece in there that her dad picks up the phone to call or her mom picks up the phone to call 911. And she still has the open line in her hand and is just gasping for air as she's, they obviously don't know it, but she's being drug across the front lawn. That's not mean. That's dark.
There's some pretty brutal shit in the movie.
Yeah. They're either going to therapy or they're tying a hose to the back of the car.
Or they're going to relight that house on fire and just go to bed in it.
So yeah, like, so Drew Barrymore dies. Very iconic, like starts the whole thing of like having famous actors in these movies, like being like the first death.
Yeah, because it's more like a, well, just even, and not that it's like the first like kind of cameo ever. I mean, it is whatever, like 10, 15 minutes, but it is like at that point, I mean, she's not like a superstar, I guess, maybe at that point, but.
Well, so like it's Omar Epps and someone else in the second one that die. Early on, Jada Pinkett Smith and Omar Epps are in the second one for 10 minutes to be the first ones killed. And Liv Schreiber, who's in this for Blink and You Miss It, that's probably be our next question, like famous actor in a small role. Let's just go there. Famous actor in a small role. I just ruined it.
So I, on that exact note, I happened to pull up the cast looking at something else and I saw his name and it was like pretty early on. And so, like, I just kind of kept an eye on him just because, like, I was watching it on Amazon and it's on X-ray. So, like,
right.
The picture they have of him is when he's 50 years old. And I'm just like, okay, so that's not going to be who I'm looking for. And I just never saw him. And yeah, because I figured it would be at least like a somewhat prominent role, like, at least a part of something.
So, but like, Kevin Williamson
is not in this movie.
So Kevin Williamson, who wrote this movie, wrote a three movie script draft, and they sold it to him on that role of being like, you will have a big part in the second one, which he does. He has a huge part in the second one. And then in the third one, he is the celebrity death that happens 10 minutes into the third one. So yeah, he's in it for nothing. He's cotton weary. He's the one that got framed for killing Sidney Prescott's mom.
Yeah, I recognize.
Oh,
It took me like the first time they showed it, I was like, wait a minute. And then they kind of like flash around. They don't show him like great for an extended period of time. It's kind of like cuts back and forth that they show him when they're talking about him being convicted or whatever, and like whatever. Taking him away, more or less, I think, is what they're like showing cuts in and out of him. And I was like, I know that guy, I'm pretty sure. And I was like, yep, that's who, because I went and checked. I was like, yep, okay, that's who it is.
Dude, I love that man. I wish he did more stuff that I watched. Like, I never watched the show that was on Showtime that he was in, like Ray something or Roy. I don't fucking know. He was a fixer. There's a lot
of stuff he's in that I just same spot. Almost, I don't know if you can have a blind spot for an actor, but that's almost what it feels like.
Ray
but
Donovan.
I know he's very good at what he does. I just haven't seen a lot of the stuff that he's been really good in.
Right, and when he shows up, you're just like, oh shit! All right, cool. I'm in for this. Like, yeah, like
the second Goon that got made.
Yeah, he's in the first Goon. He's in the first Goon. He's the guy. He's the guy who fights.
Oh, that's right. Because he comes back. Yeah, never mind. Okay, he comes back to like coach him in the second one. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, obviously, yeah, sorry, also
I was just looking at his IMDb because I hadn't, because I was like, I know him from a bunch of places, but what are they?
Also, like the Fonz, Henry Winkler being the principal is a small role.
I did have him as a, so he was kind of when he pops up the first time. I don't remember exactly what it is.
It's when he's giving the fucking kids shit. And he has like the scissors, and he's like.
So he has a moment before. Oh, it's when they're doing like the interview with Sydney in the principal's office with the cops about, you know, just like, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I had noted down, I go, oh shit, Henry Winkler's in this. Like, was he more prominent than I remember? And then you find out, just not really. And then my next note was that this is, oh my God, this is actually just a very, very 1990s cast. And it's just, yeah, David Arquette, Jamie Kennedy, Courtney Cox, Neve Campbell, all of these people. And it's like, okay, yeah, this makes a lot more sense.
Rose McGowan. like, also, I love that the Henry Winkler is the principal, and like, he literally dies in this movie because the studio sent a note back that said, it's been 30 minutes since someone has died. So his death scene is literally because they didn't want the audience to get bored. So he dies.
Yeah. Well,
and then you need an excuse for everyone to leave the party. Like they find his body.
Right. Yeah. Leave his party. You get that. And then it's just, so, and that's where, that's also part of the part of, and they do a good job of, even if like if you show this movie, I'm sure I have friends that haven't seen Scream, and like if I showed it to them today, just like, hey, as the movie goes on, like, just kind of talk out loud, you know, who you think might be the killer.
Or that's the best part about these movies, man, is like trying to figure out who the killer is.
Is they do a good job when he has those kids in the office and he's slicing those shears back and forth, and just, you think this is a funny joke, you think this is okay.
I'm kind of glad that the girlfriend is cleaning right now, because I kind of want to rewatch, like, have her watch this movie later and be like, have her like figure out who the killer is.
And then really the what was, again, I had pulled up the x-ray because it seemed like it only made too much sense, but right before he dies, when he steps out into the hallway and it's Wes Craven dressed as Freddy Krueger,
being
the janitor in the hallway.
I did not know that was Wes Craven.
He even calls him Fred. He even says,
yeah,
Fred.
And he calls him Fred. Yeah.
I made a note that he calls him Fred. He's dressed like Freddy Krueger. I did not know that was
Speaking
Wes Craven.
Speaking of a blind spot, I have never seen A Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one.
So I didn't fully, like, it wasn't in my head that Wes Craven made these movies. I knew he made Nightmare on Elm Street. I've seen a few of those. I haven't seen all of them.
Saw it on Precinct 13.
For some reason, I didn't realize that he made the Scream movies as well.
Also,
like,
I fucked up.
When he popped up there, I was just like, oh, like, that's funny, because they're talking about, you know, the killers and favorite horror movies and blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, he actually just made the goddamn movie. So he's going to be there anyway.
Assault on Precinct 13th is John Carpenter, who made Halloween. Just make sure that I did not completely fuck that up.
And what?
Event Horizon? I don't know.
John Carpenter's got some weird fucking movie.
Dude, I have not seen Event Horizon since I watched it on VHS back in the day, and I really want to revisit it sometime.
not to get wildly off track here. John Carpenter's got some wild fucking movie.
The Thing, man. Fucking The Thing. I watched A Thing with my son, and he's all like, don't let them kill the dog. I'm like, dude, the dog is the thing. They should kill the fucking dog. It kills everybody. Sorry, Jake. Go on.
Yeah, I don't even know where. I was going to jump in on the Nightmare on Elm Street stuff.
We should put that for next Halloween.
Yeah, I have seen bits and pieces of many of the movies. I don't know if I've ever seen, like, even the first one all the way through.
I think
definitely haven't since I've, like, been an adult. So,
only one I've seen is Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah, I feel like
I've and seen then maybe the reboot with the dude from Bad News Bears.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Watchmen. I think I might have seen some of the later stuff, but I don't know that I've ever sat down. And, well, I don't think. Like I said, I've probably seen bits and pieces of the older ones, but
yeah, and that's I saw a couple of the older ones, and again, maybe in the same boat as you, Jake, as far as like just bits and pieces, because I know it used to be, you know, I was
I mean, they'd be like on TV
where streaming wasn't a thing. Yeah, it would be on like Stars or something. They'd in October they'd run Nightmare on Elm Street's back to back, but I'm just like, there's fucking nine of these.
I don't think it's like the MCU. I think you can jump in and out of the fucking Nightmare on Elm
Street. Right. I don't think the storyline fully like 10 follows,
of the goddamn movies. So like, I don't know which one.
I think the Dream Warriors is one of the better ones. I don't fucking know. Like I said, I've not seen them. I should watch them at some point. Johnny Depp's in the first one. So obviously Casey and Steve die, then goes after Sydney. She gets away. We think it's her boyfriend, Billy.
Well, yeah, they kind of lead you that way, and then...
Which, I mean, they should... I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What's one, and of that's things, where... it's one of those things where she kind of thinks it, and then the movie...
gives he has him, a like, cell phone, man,
to,
like...
To be like, oh, no, it couldn't be him, right? But all of the ways that they lead you away are like, well, actually, it's two people in the end, so it makes perfect sense.
Right. Like when like the right. phone call comes because Billy's in jail.
But they also give like... you, I literally made a note. So the shit happens and Billy, like they're in the police station and he like, there's some shots where he's just shooting her some crazy... like scowls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what in the fuck is that? Like, that is like some weird overacting.
I'm just saying, if your girlfriend thought you were a serial killer, you might be pretty angry too. Except he actually is a serial killer.
Exactly.
Right. Well, but it is.
But he bounces back and forth through the movie of like, I think in after you watch the whole thing, you go, oh, yeah, he's a fucking psycho. So he's actually feeling that way.
And that's one of the best thing about this
expressions.
The good part about the second one and like, the second one's pretty good. I mean, it's not as good, but like they really make you think the boyfriend's a killer in the second one. Mm. Like they do everything in the power to like make you, and then obviously it's not. Because like, oh, and the principal's dying. Poor Henry Winkler.
And he's dead.
He gets dead a lot. I did mention this when I was watching with the girl tonight. Why do you need the mask if you're by yourself killing these people?
Well, I mean, it's just a classic, like,
just saying.
Because what if you don't pull it off?
What's a way to not reveal for the movie?
I know why we need the mask as viewers. I'm saying, like, if you're in the mask, just kill the fuckers and then go off your day. Like, they're not witness.
I mean, sure, but it is.
But also, if somebody does happen to see you, you're in costume with a mask on. So
that is true. And you don't pull it off, like, you get the. You get like the Henry Winkler death where they show the reflection in his eye of he's still
right.
You can make it two people that way, which obviously is another movie.
Right. And also sure like, it's a serial killer. They enjoy this mask on, even though I'm not sure how the fuck you see anything in that mask, but you know, the mat, like, I don't know how,
not
like
the ones, not the ones I ever bought.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I can't imagine how you're even like stabbing me or like anything, but like speaking of the mask, speaking of the like the ghost face mask,
ghost face, yeah.
We got to talk about something. And it's just us here, right? It's just us here on this podcast.
I'm scared.
There's no one else. This is going to stay between us three.
I think I'm more scared now than I ever was in the movie. Watching the movie.
Just stays between us, right?
Sure.
It's a safe space.
Oh, no.
Like last year and a half, there's been a whole thing with like girls being like, I want my boyfriend in the mask.
No.
And all I can think about whenever I see this pop up on TikTok, Twitter things, how's that motherfucker seeing anything that's going on when you're wearing the mask? Just what?
That's not what my algorithm's been feeding me. So I don't know what you're doing, but
you go ahead and search ghost face mask.
I mean, I'm not denying it.
Kinda.
I mean, I'm not one to kink shame. I'm just saying, like,
it's rule 34. I get it, but we're not.
Like, you don't have to see.
I feel like I'd be suffocating in the mat. Like, I feel like my claustrophobic. Well, like,
you want to talk about airflow and stuff?
Maybe that's part of the kink. Way. Yeah.
I mean, some people don't like airflow.
I mean, that's fine. I don't know.
Guy from fucking Kung Fu died that way. Good for him. Pete Carradine. Keith Carradine. Anyway, rest in peace.
No.
He went out doing one of the things he loved. Just saying, the mask thing is weird. I'm not one to shame that, but like, you just feel like you couldn't see what the fuck's going on. Anyways, back to the movie. All right, so now people can come back.
feeling things instead of seeing things. I don't know.
Now that people are now back listening to us and we're out of our safe place and safe space and we're fine and we're going to be comfortable. Is this Jamie Kennedy's best role in a movie?
No.
I mean.
What is his?
Not his worst.
What's his best then?
Malibu's Most Wanted.
What the okay.
That's where I initially knew Jamie Kennedy from.
He's Randy to me forever. He's amazing in this movie. He is so
Malibu's Most Wanted is where I originally was like fully introduced.
Would you like to know who almost got this role? I can't see anyone but him in this role. He is perfect for this role.
The other person, he's good in it. Yeah.
Breckenmeyer was runner up.
Who?
Road Trip.
The guy from character. Road Trip.
Oh. See, this is a rough time for like specific people for me because.
Yeah, well, because you were five.
So, yeah.
So for me, going even rewatching it today because I didn't realize what Jamie Kennedy's character's name was, that it was Randy, going into like that final we're gonna fucking kill everybody scene. And I know at the time like he wasn't.
So did you guys know who the killers was the whole time? Like,
no, I remembered that Matthew Lillard. I was pretty sure I remembered Matthew Lillard right. was bad.
That's where I was in that same spot.
So did you ever, either one of you, think it was Randy at all? Because he is such a perfect person to be the villain in this movie.
No. I did for a minute. There was a little stretch there, like, after he does the whole, like, yeah, I would be. Everybody's a suspect, like, in the video store thing.
That's such a good line. Everyone's a suspect is such a great line.
But it was in, I guess, so... When I was watching today through like today's lens of knowing that the later Scream movies get a little more into, I don't want to say the parody, but like the joking at themselves stage, but also the scary movies. And also that this movie itself obviously makes
I have not watched a ton
of references about just like, this isn't a movie, but if it was a movie, if this is a movie, you know, and it does that whole thing. But when he's laying on that couch and he's yelling at Jamie Lee Curtis and he's yelling, Jamie, look behind you. And you're like, you're fucking Jamie Kennedy. You fucking look behind, you know?
So speaking of what Sean is talking about,
like, I know that's not why they cast him because his name was Jamie and it fits in that spot, but I'm just like, man, that's a weird little added little extra touch. And just he's screaming, Jamie, look behind you, when he's got the killer right behind him, and
right,
he's watching Psycho and all of that shit. But
that was Paul Wayne. But
yeah, whatever, they're all the same.
All right, just choosing to hurt me tonight, anyways. So the fact that you talk about how it's
there's
comedy.
A formula or whatever Randy yells about in rules. The beginning of the movie. Yeah, there's rules. So don't tell me they're not all the same. This movie points out they're all the same.
Anyways, so they got way of a lot of like the gore in this movie because Weinstein, fuck that guy. I hope he rots in prison. Went to the MPAA and was like, this is a comedy. It's not a horror movie. This is a comedy. It's a funny movie. It's a satire.
Right. It's making and they fun let them of get itself, away. Yeah.
And they let them get away with a bunch of the gore in this movie because he's like, it's not a horror movie. It's a fucking comedy. And my favorite MPAA story about this movie is like when Casey gets just hung up and her guts are out, the MPAA was like, you can't fucking do this. This is too far. And Wes Craven's like, it's the only shot we got. We didn't have another shot.
This is the only option.
And that's a complete fucking lie. And they're like, okay, well, we're not going to make you reshoot it.
Didn't call the bluff, so they got it.
So you get to see Drew Barrymore's intestines hanging down by her feet. Yeah, man, fucking Randy's amazing. So fucking like a bitch in that second movie. Angry as shit. This movie's so good about red herrings. You think for one moment they show like the sheriff putting a cigarette out with the boots.
Yep,
you know, boots. Yep. Randy being like, anyone's a suspect. For a good 3 seconds, you think it's the principal. You know, like, fuck, yeah, they kill
do,
Billy.
They do the scene with the scissors for the principal. Then it's the dad.
The whole case on the dad. Yeah, that the phone calls came from his phone.
There's no really good way to do this because it's from the perspective of Sydney, but the case that could be built against her is pretty damn good,
right?
Like, of everything that happens, like, there's no witnesses, everybody just dies around her, right? Like,
right,
she's so, just like, you know, what is it? The girls in the bathroom are just like,
that's what I mean.
She's just making it up.
Yeah, like, that's where it comes from. Is like, you know that that's not the truth because you see what the movie's showing you. But it's like, well, if you weren't seeing everything from Neve Campbell's perspective, like, holy shit, like, she might be the number one at this point.
So what is something that took you out of this movie or hasn't aged well or aged poorly or like... It could be as simple as a cell phone looking old as shit or like the landlines.
Yeah. The phone stuff is difficult. But I usually kind of accept that. That usually isn't something that I'm super critical of.
I mean, right. It's not critical, but it definitely dates the movie. Like, as far as the phone line stuff, even some of the, you know, just the way the cell phones looked, stuff like that. And just, I guess I still don't know. I guess I get robocalls from made up numbers, but the whole thing about just like, we can clone the dad's cell phone. And
they're like, I have caller ID. Fuck you.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things that, now,
and then in one of the later movies, they start doing where they can fake the people's voices.
Yeah, so caller ID is one thing, but that stuff can be, you know, manipulated to a certain extent or whatever. But I think the one thing now, as we get to where we are, is like the location services, like availability that ping phones and things like that. Like,
sure,
you would like a phone that's making a call is gonna ping, and like probably even nowadays, unless you're super careful, is gonna be like connecting to networks and stuff like. The traceability of somebody now when it comes to this stuff would more
or less ruin,
unless the person is like super duper careful and whatever, blah, 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 blah. But
teens are leaving their phones at home, man. They also have burner phones, though. I mean,
you're still just tracing phones and like connecting stuff. Like, it's so easy to connectivity and tracing and all that now is like, In you know, the late 90s, 2000, like, it wasn't there. Like, you had the thing where they were tracking like the phone calls, and it's like, oh, it was,
you're tracking, it was this phone data. Yeah.
Yeah, you're tracking the phone calls between these two things. These phones made these two calls and you can do that. But the rest
of it, that's where even for that time, like, I know it is like it's kind of passed on, but it's 1996 and it's a high school kid is
more of a cell phone.
It running around with, buddy, a cell phone.
In 96, my phone was a bag phone in my car.
Right. And they make a comment of just like, you know, just, well, what are you doing with a mobile phone? And he's like, everybody's got them. And I'm just like, sure, my parents didn't fucking have them then. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
dude, yeah, I had 50 minutes of time. But
so, and that's where I think that was especially for the time, for when the movie was made, that obviously that's supposed to be like the big gotcha, put it on on him, and then, you know, he gets away with, oh no, just my dad pays for it, and because I have rich parents and blah blah blah, or, you know, and however they,
right? So I got a couple.
There's a lot of that talk around in the plot stuff. It's not necessarily age, but the
can we just
spotty at best.
Can we discuss the hidden camera that they put up underneath the goddamn TV area for Gale Weathers and camera dude, rest in peace, that's the size of a fucking VHS tape.
And it's like, a textbook camera.
They're all drunk and staring at the TV. It's fine.
Okay, here's the thing. I was thinking about, I thought you would say that, and I agree. Because I once threw a high school party where at 2 a.m. we saw a hole in the side of my couch, and we argued about if the hole was been there before the party or not. And we spent too much time trying to decide if we fixed the hole and it had been there, my parents would be like, you fixed the hole. Why'd you fix the hole? Or if the hole was new. Because if you fix it, and they're like, why'd you fix it?
Oh, goodness.
So we called a girl who I knew her parents well at 6 a.m. on a Sunday. And they came over and fucking helped fix this goddamn couch hole. Because someone got angry and they kicked the side of my couch.
Oh, parents. You're talking like in the side. Like
yes, like the, like the, it's like the side of the couch, like the hard part. Like the,
oh, man.
So like, yeah, sorry, sure. The hard side where like the fabric is tight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone,
it's taut, but it's hollow behind it.
And you, yeah, like, so they kicked the hole in the side of the couch, the taut part. Mm. And we're trying to say that had been there forever. Oh, poor Tatum's getting her head caught in the elevator, which we're going to discuss here in a second.
It's a garage door. It's not an elevator.
Garage door. Either way, that's a way that would not kill somebody.
No.
Either way. You think the boyfriend did that? Or you think Billy did that? I think that's Stu that did that. Anyway,
that's Stu.
No, it's Billy.
Because Stu's right there. They show Stu here at the doorway. So Billy went and killed her. Well, I guess they don't actually show much time has gone by. But anyway, so like, yeah. So like, we discussed this. We ended up putting tape, like fabric tape behind it. Because like, it was such a good hole. Like the fabric was still there. It was just like.
Yeah, just like ripped.
So like, we fixed it.
Yep.
My parents did not know till 4.5 years later when they sold the couch to a friend of ours. And then they noticed
the table, like a side table.
No,
just
no.
Wide open to like the room.
So it looked like barn doors. So you could close the barn doors, put the fabric tape behind it. And it looked shut. Does it make sense?
No.
But it's like a square barn doors got kicked through. So the fabric's just flapping.
I can more or less envision what you're talking about. I don't know how it didn't get noticed, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, didn't get noticed. So years later, and I was like, oh yeah, we got in a fight over a football game and one of us kicked it.
But anyway, that's how you don't notice a
that's how you don't notice
broadcast.
But also like
that
you could,
and I mean, yeah,
a
they
wireless
also
wireless video broadcasting device sitting on top of your VCR underneath your TV.
Yeah.
Do you want to discuss that, or do you want to discuss Tatum getting killed because they happened at the exact same time?
They were all drinking. Those kids didn't know any better. They weren't looking for...
They're more focused on the scary movie and waiting for boobs than...
Right.
So funny thing about Tatum dying in the garage door opener was Rose McGowan was apparently too small, and she kept falling out of it when they were trying to film it.
Out of the, like, doggy door thing?
So they had to, like staple
her
shirt.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. There was...
Well, so they the thing about the whole, all right, so one, your the garage door
one open, that garage is very cold.
It might like make your neck sore.
That kitchen's very cold because she got headlights on before she gets in the garage.
I'm just trying to talk about the inaccuracies of the garage door killing somebody. Y'all are focused on her nipples.
All right, respectfully.
Goodness gracious.
It's her or Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I know he did last summer.
I'm actually surprised there wasn't like way more of that in this movie. I was expecting a lot more of it, but
there's no nudity in this movie.
Not nudity, like boobs, nipples. I mean, it was not as egregious.
Areolas, pepperonis.
Yeah, I mean, they teased the boob shot and they, you know,
erase your
they
heads.
Get the bra shot.
So one garage door opener that's set anywhere close to properly is never gonna like snap somebody's
head. Squish your whole skull.
Even
that's
if it's not set properly,
it
it's
like
never
did some crazy stuff.
Her face looked like a fucking Tetris piece, like the fucking down over side Tetris piece.
What do you think the strongest garage door opener you can find, like motor is, like crank it, like 2.5?
I don't care if she's 100 pounds soaking wet. She's not getting lifted up by it.
They also showed her like more or less both arms like through the little doggy door thing. The animal door, whatever.
Yeah.
And then when she's getting lifted up, it's like magically it's just her neck. Arm is like it's, stuck, yeah. And it's like her neck, and it's like what? Oh, okay, like come on, like.
And now that goddamn audio clip is on the TikToks of the goddamn Ghostface. Oh, Mr. Ghostface, I'll be around for the sequel.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not one to shame anyone, but that is, I don't think I see jack shit in that mouth mask.
I can only imagine the things that are done with a few of the video and audio clips from this Jesus movie. Christ.
I thought you were gonna say ghost mask. All right. Anyways,
well, I mean that's kind of part of it, but
that's a whole part of it, apparently, according to anyways. For some people. All right, back to the camera. Poor Jamie Kennedy. That shit is so good. The 30-second, like the fact that this movie's just so good. Like they make a point saying it's a 30-second delay. They make a point to say that offhandedly. And the fact that part is so fucking good. So obviously Sydney survives Billy, quote, dying, falls off the fucking second story roof, heads out to the camera guy. And we're going to come back. Actually, hang on. Put a pin in that. Put a knife in that. Let's discuss the rules. The rules of a scary movie. Can't say we'll be right back. Can't have sex. Can't drink.
Yeah.
Can't drink or smoke.
Can't drink or smoke. It's a sin. That part is so good when Randy's going through that shit. And then Stu's like, he just want a beer. And Randy's like, yeah, sure. And he's like, I'll be right back.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And did you also notice that very shortly after that, Courtney Cox's character.
Courtney Cox does it when she leaves the van.
She's like, be right back.
I'll be right back. Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, she drops one of those in.
Like, literally right after that when they cut to that part of it.
So, the cool part about this, so I need to look on the trivia again, but like, so like when Randy is yelling at the TV to turn around, that is the only, and Ghostface is behind him, that's the only time in this movie that an actor is in the suit. And I think it's Matthew Lillard. Because he wanted to see what it was like.
Interesting.
So that's the only time in this movie that Ghostface is played by an actual like
one of the actual face actors.
Yeah.
Huh.
Dude, Matthew Lillard's good.
I mean, he does look a little extra tall and lengthy in that scene. Like, I don't know what it is necessarily, but like, there was when he came back in, and I don't know if it was because he does the whole little. I'll be right back to get the beers, and then just you obviously don't ever see him again, and nine people die.
Yeah.
and so you kind of start putting some stuff together.
But, because like also apparently if you like really watch the Sydney Billy scene, Billy is looking at the door the whole time waiting for Stu to pop in. Like when he's having the horizontal tango. Sydney. No pants dance.
Oh, there you go. Say while they're having intercourse.
Well, that's, you, and they're so I guess the,
they're playing hide the pickle.
I guess thinking
see how deep that knife can go.
It doesn't fully get it. Like I know he does the little like corn syrup, same thing they used in Carrie. Like but like where did it come from?
Right.
You just put your shirt back on. You were just naked as fuck. Just bang one out.
And listen, there's more.
There's a lot of corn syrup
again.
There's more than one logical plot.
There's plot holes.
Like try and poke. That was one of the bigger ones where I was like,
he's wearing some pretty tight blue jeans.
When they reveal that, and I was like,
I've got Matthew Lillard looking for the gun right now, and boy, man, this is where he's. Pinnacle.
So good. All right, let's get that. What's jump in?
I'm getting woozy, man. I think I'm dying.
So it's revealed. It's revealed that Billy.
Hang on. I got one more point, and then we're gonna get there.
All right.
So I want to come back to a 30-second delay part because of how good that part is. The killer's behind Randy, and they're like, the guy's like, turn around, motherfucker, turn around. And then he Sydney shows up, and she's like, they're trying to kill me. And he's like, no, he's inside the house. And then he opens a fucking van door, and the front door's open. And then he's like, oh, shit.
Ah, fucking 30-second delay.
And then just gets his fucking throat just cut. Slit. Yep. You know, like,
it's a good like sequence there.
It's like, one of those like
fucker, you know, there's a 30-second delay. What do you?
It's up there with the guy, Jeff Daniels in Speed when you're like, you just know you're dead. The door's open and he's just like, oh, I'm dead. I'm dead. He got me. But yeah, so like, fucking Matthew Lillard, Stu, and them.
Let's get the end. As they say on Cinephobe, just, and he bought a boat named Live Forever. and you're dead.
You're dead.
Well, you have the reveal of the two, Billy and Stuart. So Billy the boyfriend and Stuart the crazy friend or whatever, that they've been working together, and that's how the whole like plot works, that Billy could have been in the police station and the phone call could still be made and all the things can happen.
So let's use this as a segue into our favorite quote, because I know we're going to use, obviously, Woozy here is your favorite quote. Maybe someone like, what is your guys' favorite quote? And we can segue off. I'm fucking Woozy here, man.
Yeah, that's really good. He's I don't have the exact quote written down.
Dude, he bats 1,000 in that
20 minutes. I didn't write a lot of quotes down.
My mom's gonna be so mad at me.
But he has like three really good ones in there. He's like, man, you stabbed me real deep. I think I'm dying. And then he has the part where,
the
like,
phone, man.
Yeah, you hit me with the fucking phone, man. Like he's
so good.
That whole sequence, he is so good.
Just got to like, well, and it is they're doing almost.
I said it right here, and it's gone, man.
They're almost doing like petty stab back and forth because like
he does obviously he does he Stu stabs
gets,
he's...
Stu gets the first one and he's and that's where it just kind of sets in, just like, oh fuck, holy shit, we're actually stabbing each other. And like, and that's where he gets Billy back, and Billy's just like, don't go too do it to the side, don't go too deep, and then just whatever he says something, you know, just got a little slippery or something on that one.
Yeah.
And then
Billy gets him like four times.
Billy gets like two or three or four back.
You stabbed me too deep, man.
And then I think you stabbed me too deep. I'm getting I think I'm dying, man.
Did you really call the cops?
Did you really call the cops? Yeah, you bet you sure as shit I did.
He reaches probably too far, but he reaches into the half baked. Is it half baked?
Yeah. Scooby. He's not either one of them. He is
Shaggy.
He's Shaggy. Sure.
But is he not one of the?
No, he's too young for that, man. This is his role. He's a Shaggy. He's not half baked. He's not half baked. He's not in Biodome. That's Pauly Shore.
Okay, sure.
And then he's good shit, man. Now when Matthew Lillard, now when he shows up, he's also awful and She's All That. He's the worst part of that movie. But now when he shows up, you're like, fuck yeah, Matthew Lillard's in this fucking show or this movie. I'm in. Like, he's in a show called Good Girls. He's in a couple other shows. Like, well, man, for this shit. But like,
yeah,
when
the
I
last
watched,
couple years, he's been doing very good like interviews. Just a chill dude. But yeah, just.
But at this point in time, I'm like, this dude's annoying as shit. Like, why is he in my movies? Why is he in
right?
Like, he's a tall, goofy fuck. And there's a long, large online contingent that, like, wants him to come back for, like, a later Scream. So, they're like, that TV wouldn't have killed him. Like, they're all like, he's not dead.
Well, okay. So they try and play it up that it just, he short-circuits it and he gets electrocuted to death. It's not that he got crushed, right? But that's also not how that works, because there's sparks flying out of the back of the TV.
Oh, he's dead.
Well, Billy got shot in the fucking front temple of his head.
In the
Billy's temple. Dead. Billy's dead.
Except
he's not back in the sequels.
does he not come back?
No, he's a ghost. Oh. So spoiler alert for number five. So one of the main characters, number five, is his illegitimate daughter. And she sees him in her head.
He's a fucking okay. Well, all
right. It's not ghost. He's a, you know, when your dad's a serial killer, you might have
from someone. The one time he had sex.
No,
in
no, no,
a year.
No, no, no. It's not. It's put off that he impregnated someone else on the side.
Well, so when he was 15. That's fun.
Well, he's like 17. These fucking movies. Anyway.
Well, yeah. If you do the math,
18, obviously, but anyways, yeah, in the sequels, it's his daughter's the main character.
Sorry, anyway, I only just saw that he was in them, so.
No, yeah, he's definitely dead. You don't come back from a gunshot.
Yeah, that's why I was like, how the fuck does that work? But.
All right, lost my train of thought. All right, so like, Billy and Stu are just dicks. We forgot that Dewey dies in this movie. Like, he gets stabbed in the back, and if you watch him at all, Gale Weathers falls on his body. He does not move. That motherfucker is dead.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah. He's not, but
in the script he dies, and then the audience got pissed off and they brought him back.
I think you can easily play that off as he didn't die.
That's fine, but the script says he died. He also dies in the second one.
I think
they filmed it as though he's dead. The last part is them adding on.
I think you can for sure play it off as he is not dead. But, and don't get me wrong, I love some very stupid David Arquette roles. I love Ready
to Rumble is one of my favorite movies.
So, like, I love just David Arquette doesn't know how to act. He's a dog shit actor, but he's just shows up to be goofy. And so, like, cool, good for you. So, like, if you want to bring him back, bring him back. But yeah, he could be dead or not dead.
It's actually worse than the second one. He gets stabbed like seven times, and
his goddamn wife comes back from the dead three times in this movie.
Dude, in the second one, they fought out. It is him getting pulled into an ambulance, and they're like, it hit his old scar tissue. That's the only reason he's still alive. Like, and that motherfucker dies. Like, they like make a big point of like Gale watching him die, just to be like, they said they couldn't kill Randy and Dewey in the same movie. Is what they said. Well, bring Randy back. Fuck Dewey. Anyways, poor fucking hair man's going down.
Get off my fucking windshield or whatever she says.
Yeah, I love that part though. At the end of the movie, let's get it in here. There's no gifts. I can't think of any gifts in this movie.
Really? I think. Did you or somebody I swear to God, I recently saw a gif of the. Maybe it wasn't a gif. I don't remember. It was the scene of when he like licks his fingers and it's like, oh, the corn syrup or whatever.
Jesus Christ, man. You're getting on me on the Scream Mass TikToks and
listen, I saw it with no context and I don't remember. It might have been a meme almost format of a
picture. I have questions about how that meme
that could probably maybe be a gif that's
I haven't seen it probably ever, but if I can find it,
Bloody Fingers reminds me of Salt.
And
yeah,
and
I didn't know. I didn't dig any further into it when I saw it. I don't remember the context. Don't come at me.
If I can find it and use it in the future, I may hold
no
on
one that's-
to peer pressure, I'm far too sensitive for the rest of my
life.
I think
the only one that's close is there are rules with Jamie Kennedy. Like, if you're like
a little woozy, man.
Like, there are rules gets used somewhat. You know,
I think
but
you got me a little too deep.
I think I'm dying.
Fucking die here, man.
That is maybe other than there. I'm sure there's better stuff when he's playing Shaggy, but that might be the best, like, two and a half minutes that Matthew.
It's such a good stretch, man.
Dude. Did you really call it? My mom's going to kill me. Like,
my parents are going to be so mad at me.
you're bleeding out, brother. You ain't making it.
It's good. It is so good.
No goosebumps moments, I assume?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anything you did not realize is from this movie? About that?
No.
Not for sure. I guess not specifically. Kind of like I said earlier, I knew this movie was always a sort of talks about how it's not a movie sort of thing. I just didn't realize how much that's meta, brought up meta in the was, movie. Yeah. Like, just it's a lot. It's a lot of times.
Fucking Randy has got
a movie.
Shot.
Life's not a movie. Just life is a movie. And just, well, not in my movie. And I'm just like, oh my
God. That's what I'm getting to. So Randy's like, this is the part where the killer always comes back.
Right.
And Billy jumps up and she pops and just goes, not in my movie.
Right.
And I'm like, he just did it. He just popped up and scared you. He just did the final scare. Like, it happened.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. And also, already had done it once in the movie, like had already came back and grabbed you from behind. And so that's some of the stuff of just like, they definitely take the tropes from the movies that they talk about, you know, that they explicitly bring up, and they just go, well, it's not this movie, but it's also exactly this movie. And that's the sort of stuff that, not to go back as far as like, it didn't ever take me out of it, but it was just a lot more of that than I remembered it being, of just like, oh, we're bringing back horror movies, but we're also making a horror movie that's exactly like a horror movie, but very explicitly saying it's not like other horror movies, but it's exactly like, you know, Psycho or Halloween, or like they bring up expressly bring up movies to follow the plots of them, yeah, and then go, but we're not like those.
Yeah.
So it's a fun little combination of past horror movies, I guess, which I'm sure fits in 1996 when there wasn't really horror movies being released and out. So like, it was cool to tie all of them together. That's something you look back and you just kind of go, especially if you've seen it before or a couple times, just like, okay, this is, it's crazy how much you played this out over 2 hours. And that's the thing, it's almost 2 hours. It doesn't feel like 2 hours. It's a pretty quick movie.
Full,
but
the full runtime on Amazon when I started it was 1 hour 52. The movie, like what you're talking about, is it recognizes where it comes from and what it's emulating, but it also states the kind of the framework for what it's doing and why it's doing what it's doing. But then I think it's I don't want to say, I mean, it's funny that they brought it to whoever about the rating and called it a comedy.
Right.
Because there were also parts in this movie where I just laughed at it.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
Now that's more specifically the time frame we're talking about towards the end when Matthew Lillard is doing his thing. That was obviously like very fucking funny. Like, some of that shit is just hilarious. But there were also other parts where I'm like, and it's not necessarily that it takes me out of the movie, but there's like different parts of the movie that have different vibes where it's just like, oh, that's like not, it's just different than what the framework or the classic framework that it's talking about, that it's taking from and building on or using.
Yeah. And that's where I think that's where it gets into where, you know, like Ted was saying in those meetings of, and obviously it turns into what the franchise becomes down the line, especially like the last three that have come out. I don't think so. A little bit, 1, 2, and 3, but definitely 4, 5, and 6, where they did a lot more of the like, dude, leaned more into the satire comedy part of it, but it was still a slasher movie sort of thing.
And number 5 is all about like the legacy sequel,
and, right? Like, it's, and it's
they lay the rules down for
it's it's sort of making fun of what it is while still trying to be true to what it is. And I think it does toe a very good line.
I think it does it very well.
Because, yeah, you could, you are a half a step away from literally just making Scary Movie, or just another half a step away from making Psycho or Halloween or something on the other side. And they play that line where doing the throwbacks, referencing the older movies and all of that. And I think they do a good job.
And then it's the just, first movie that does that. And then they all
for sure. Yeah. And then it just, but they set the template. They set the baseline for what that
was. There is so many movies that came out in like the 5 years after this that I saw that you guys probably don't like. Urban Legend. I know what you did last summer. How they rebooted Halloween. Halloween H2O of
LL. Oh, yeah. J.
Like, you know.
Not but, good.
I mean, it's Josh Hartnett's in that fucking movie. All right, real quick, and we'll probably call this a night. But can we discuss how Stu and Billy, bunch of 17-year-old motherfuckers, waited a year. They killed Sydney's mom, and they waited a whole ass fucking year to do their plan.
Yeah, to do anything else.
Like, that is some restraint from a fucking hormonal fucking teenager.
That might be, like, the most unrealistic part of this movie.
It might. Yeah, that is a movie. Like, let's just flash forward a year. Like, they killed her mom, then just set on it. Just set on it.
Like, we're going to wait a whole 11 months to do anything else.
And so I guess didn't pay full attention on that. What was it? Was Stu involved in?
Yeah, he says it.
Stuff?
They,
okay.
Yeah, they like stated it in more or less in the.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that does lead into the. Okay. Yeah. What's your motive? Why are you doing all of this? And it was obviously Billy collapses.
The best part about that part is like.
And Billy does give another good quote in that is. At one point, Billy gives the what just like no motive makes it more interesting or something.
Movies don't fuck up people. You're like,
so like he gives one of those, and then obviously he collapses in that, and he's just like, yeah, no, your mom was just she was a whore around town, and blah blah blah.
The best part about the sequel, second one, is like the killer's all about like he wants to get caught because the money's in the trial. Which is pretty cool. Like, he's like, I want to get caught.
You keep referencing the second one, and I do not remember the whole plot of the second
It's good, man.
I don't either.
And I'll probably
have to there are four of the six Scream movies are good. 1, 2, 4, 5.
Okay.
3 and 6 are bad. But you kind of have to watch all six because, you know, we watched Rocky 5, you know, so I mean, we did the thing.
I think I'd rather rewatch the Saw movies again, but.
Anyway. Oh my god. I think I quit 4.
Really? I love those movies.
No, 5. Which one was the one where you found out the two previous movies took place at the same time?
Ooh.
Is that 5? I think that was my last one.
I think so. It's been a probably.
Yeah, yeah. And 5, you found out that 3 and 4, either way, that's why I quit. They're still making them. Even though Jigsaw died.
Love them. Don't care. Actually, it's getting a little carried away now. But anyway.
I watched the Chris Rock one.
Maybe, Saw movies maybe. And Fast and Furious. I both stopped watching them after.
How about you go fuck yourself in the Fast and Furious? Yeah. So
in both those franchises, 2 was the best. The rest of them fucking suck.
I love how like Neve Campbell's come back for number 7 because the two actresses quit after 6 because of bullshit.
In an amazing turn of fate, the 5th Fast and Furious is the best one.
But it is the best one.
No, it's the first one. We're not doing this tonight. But
Fast and the Furious movie is by far and away the best one of all.
God, he stabs fucking Billy so fucking deep. You know he gets him good when the blood pops out the back of the shirt.
Man,
the blood pops out the back of the shirt.
I think I might die.
All right, so our next movie, I believe, is Airplane.
Hit me in the head, you dick.
Airplane's gonna be Airplane. A treat.
Oh god, that's gonna be a treat.
Oh, real quick, the phone thing. Did I mention that when he hit him the phone that was unscripted?
He just chucked it and hit
him there. Yeah. Also unscripted was apparently when she comes out of the basement / closet with the umbrella, Skeet Ulrich has like a heart condition and he has like a metal plate on his chest. And when she gets him the second time, it misses like the padding and she literally fucking hits him with a goddamn umbrella. And oh, like a tenor. Well, if you look at it, he screams in some pretty hard pain when she fucking hits him with that fucking umbrella.
Rightfully so, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. So Airplane's next. Planes, Trains, and Automobile after that. And then I believe in my head, I think we should do Elf and Christmas Vacation for Christmas. I don't know how many weeks we have for Christmas. We have 3 movies or 2 movies.
We'll workshop it.
So anyways, Airplane's next.
Depend on, I believe, holiday plans for everybody. Yeah. But
yeah. And bowl games, you know, my ass might go on the bowl. I've never seen Airplane. Pretty stupid watching bowl Airplane. Games.
Championship game?
Well, I can't. I love my kids. My children have their Christmas holiday concert.
It ain't gonna none of it
on me, and it's not Friday, December 6th is the Christmas holiday program. I don't think I can make it to fucking Dallas the next day.
I'm sure you can. It's a direct
drive or flight?
Flight.
At 11 a.m. kickoff.
Oh, that's right.
Probably. I'm pretty sure that Christmas program starts.
Wait, what time starts at when?
7 p.m. on a Friday.
Oh my god!
Might be able to make the drive. To be honest with you, but anyway,
it is a free weekend. Also, the girlfriend is also busy.
I think it's
that weekend.
12 hours somewhere in there. 12 hours.
Yeah, hell of a story.
Never know.
I gotta find something to ride with me. Dewey is dead. She's laying on his dead fucking body. I think Sean went to go to the bathroom. So can we say goodbye about Sean sitting here?
Yeah, we've got to, because I'm gonna have to do that if we don't. It might happen right here.
All right. All right. Till next time. I am Ted Flint. Sean shot Ted Sussman and went to the potty. Jake Voss. If you want to wear a mask, wear a scream mask in your bedroom. That's your choice. We don't shame you. Till next time. I don't have an exit. I'm working on it. Maybe next time. Later, guys.